A very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, great to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind, and last night at Marlins Park, the Marlins continued their 10-game homestand. It was the final series, their first of three against the New York Mets, a matchup between a pair of right-handers and Dan Straley and Robert Gazelman. And with a recap, as always, here's Glenn Geffner.
Well, after a good start to this homestand against the Nationals and the Cubs, the Marlins keep on keeping on tonight. They beat the Mets 6-3 in the opening game of this three-game series. They improved to 5-3 on what we knew coming in. It was going to be a very challenging homestand. So far, so good. Dan Straley, the starter for the Marlins in this one. Robert Gazelman on the mound at the outset for the Mets. And the Mets, a terrific home run hitting team, wasted no time jumping on the scoreboard against Straley. Leading off the first, Curtis Granderson.
Granderson for the year batting 235, 36-year-old veteran, swings on the next pitch and hits a shot down that right field line, and it's going to be a fair ball and a home run for Curtis Granderson to lead off the ball game. 1-0 Mets.
For Granderson, his third first inning leadoff home run of this season, his 21st as a member of the Mets over the last 4 years, and the 45th of his distinguished big league career. But the Marlins came right back in the bottom of the first against Robert Gazelman. Gazelman came in tonight having allowed 17 first inning runs, second most in the majors. He was two behind Patrick Corbin of the D-backs. When the first inning was over, he had allowed the most runs in the majors in the first inning this season. He allowed a leadoff single to D. Gordon. D was erased on a 5-4 fielder's choice off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. But Stanton took second on a single by Christian Yelich. The runners moved up to second and third, and a bounce out by Marcelo Ozuna. Marlins had two men in scoring position with two outs in the first for Justin Bour.
Here it is. And Bour crushes a line drive, base hit out into right. Home to score is Stanton. Right behind him, Yelich slides safely. No play at the plate. The Marlins have a 2-1 lead on Bohr's two-out single to right here in the bottom of the first.
And they weren't done with Gazelman in that first inning. With Bour at first, up step Martin Prado.
And the pitch. And this ball is rocketed down the left field line for extra bases. That gets into the corner. Here comes Bour. He's been waved at third base. And he is going to score standing up all the way from first on a double by Martin Prado. It's a three-run first inning for the Marlins. And they now have four hits against Gazelman. And a 3-1 lead.
It would stay a 3-1 game into inning number four with one out in that fourth inning. Lucas Duda doubled for the Mets against Dan Straley. He took third base when Wilmer Flores grounded out. Then a walk to Jose Reyes extended the inning. Mets had men at the corners with two down for the number eight hitter, Travis d'Arnaud. There's a liner up the middle, base hit, d'Arnaud. That'll score Duda from third. Reyes stops at second. A clutch two-out knock from the Mets catcher. And it's a one-run game, 3-2 in the fourth. Straley would get Gazelman 4-3 to end that fourth inning. Gazelman hit a little slow ground ball past the pitcher. It was fielded by D. Gordon. When it got past Straley, Gazelman realized he had himself the possibility of a base hit. He really tried to kick it into high gear. And in doing so, he strained his left hamstring. He was out in a very close play at first, a good play by Gordon. And Gazelman had to leave the game at that point. Gazelman done after three innings, five hits, three runs, no walks, four strikeouts. He threw 54 pitches and 34 strikes. Paul Sewald came into the game, worked three scoreless in relief, two hits and three Ks. Meanwhile, Straley made it through the fifth with a 3-2 lead, but he was done after five because the pitch count just got unmanageable. He threw 94 pitches in five innings here tonight, 64 strikes, allowed two runs on five hits, a walk, four Ks, that leadoff home run to Curtis Granderson. Harlan Garcia started the sixth. He retired lefty Jay Bruce on a ground ball to second. Then he walked lefty Lucas Duda, so he was pulled with right-handers coming up. Wilmer Flores hit a fly ball to center off Nick Whitgren for the second out, and Whitgren was able to strike out the switch hitting Jose Reyes to end the sixth. Still, Marlins 3 and the Mets 2. Kyle Bearclaw came on in the seventh, looking to protect the one-run lead. I was talking about how dangerous these Mets are in tight games because of their ability to hit the home run. And, well, that's exactly what Travis d'Arnaud did leading off the seventh against Bearclaw. D'Arnaud, fly ball to left, sending Ozuna back toward the Clevelander at the wall. What were we just saying? Home run, D'Arnaud, and we're tied at three. A blown save for Bearclaw for the Mets, their 146th home run of the season, second of the game. They rank second to the Nationals in the NL and fifth in all of baseball in home runs hit this year. After Bearclaw then walked pinch hitter Brandon Nimmo in a tie game, the Mets had the tie-breaking man at first. Nobody out in the seventh when Bearclaw pitched to Curtis Granderson. Nimmo held it first by Bohr. Three men on the right side of the infield. 1-0 to Granderson up the middle. Diving to his right, Riddle has it. Takes it to the bag for one. Back to first for a double play. Very well done, JT Riddle. That was a big-time double play. It helped Bearclaw settle things down a little bit. He got Estrubel Cabrera to ground to first. He was out of the seventh. But after the D'Arnaud home run, we were all knotted up at three aside. Neil Ramirez took over for Paul Sewald at the start of the seventh inning. The right-handed pitcher walked JT Realmuto. Then he allowed a single to Riddle. That put men at the corners with a string of lefties coming up. Jerry Blevins came out of the bullpen for the Mets. Lefties batted just 138 on the season against Blevins. Only 9 hits and 65 at-bats. That was until he faced the lefty hitting Ichiro. The 0-1 pitch, and Ichiro grounds one through the left side, base hit against the lefty. Here's Realmuto. The Marlins have the lead in the seventh. Ichiro's hit against the very tough left-hander gave the Marlins the lead. That's our move of the game, brought to you by Greek Moving and Storage, the official movers of the Marlins. Make your next move the best move ever with Greek Moving and Storage. Learn more at GreekMoving.com. Blevins then got the lefty D. Gordon to bounce to second base. At that point, with the Marlins up 4-3, Miami had JT Riddle at third base, Ichiro at second. Stanton coming up. They decided to intentionally walk the right-hander, Giancarlo, so the lefty Blevins could pitch to the lefty, Christian Yelich. 2-2. Yelich rips one up the middle. Base hit center field against the lefty. Riddle scores. Ichiro's coming home. It's a two-run single for Yelich. The Marlins open their lead up to 6-3. Two big hits, three big runs batted in for lefty hitters against the very tough Jerry Blevins. And the Marlins would hand that 6-3 lead to David Phelps in the eighth inning. Phelps walked Jay Bruce with one out, but then he came back to strike out Lucas Duda. And he got Wilmer Flores and a fly ball to right. That sent this one to the ninth. Marlins 6 and the Mets 3. A.J. Ramos looking to lock down his 13th save in 14 tries. He allowed a leadoff single to Jose Reyes after Travis D'Arnaud hit a fly ball to center for the first out. A wild pitch sent Reyes down to second. Pinch hitter T.J. Rivera popped to second for out number two. Reyes advanced to third on defensive indifference, so the Mets now down to their final out, trailing 6-3. They had Reyes to third, two outs to the ninth. A.J. Ramos trying to lock it down, going after Curtis Granderson.
Two outs, Reyes at third, and a 2-2 pitch coming up to Granderson. The pitch, swing and a fly ball for Ozuna in left. Marcel gets under it. He's got it. That's the game. The Marlins win. They've beaten the Mets 6-3, and they move their record to within 5 games of getting back to that 500 mark.
For the Marlins tonight, 6 runs, 10 hits, no errors, 6 runners left on base. For the Mets, 3 runs, 7 hits, no errors. They strand 7 in this one. Kyle Bearclaw, the winning pitcher, improves to 4-1 in the season. Neil Ramirez, a loss in his first decision as a Met, 0-1. A.J. Ramos' 13th save. Time of the game, 3 hours, 3 minutes, in front of 20,804 here at Marlins Park. Marlins improved to 35-40 on the season. They're now 5-3 in the homestand, 21-19 at home overall. Miami's won 18 of 28, and the Marlins are 21-13 after starting the year just 14-27 through their first 41 games. Meanwhile, for the Mets, the end of a 3-game winning streak, they dropped to 34-42. They are 17-19 away from Citi Field.
Big night for JT Riddle. He had a pair of hits. He turned a sensational double play up the middle in the middle of last night's ballgame, and we were able to chat with the Marlins shortstop afterwards.
JT, a couple of hits tonight. You get the double early on. Take me through the at-bat in the seventh, though. You were asked to bunt twice. You fall behind in the count, and you put a heck of a bat together against Ramirez.
Yeah, you know, I had the sacrifice bunt on there. The fouled off two of them. Probably, you know, tough pitches to bunt. He's trying to go up in the zone to get me to pop it up. Probably maybe balls, borderline pitches. You know, and then just battling after that. I get two strikes, do something to try to do the job still, you know, even though there's two strikes. So, you know, I battled and got a pitch that I can handle and luckily it worked out.
For a young player like yourself, up a couple of times now, JT, I know it's been a crazy 24 hours and probably wouldn't be right if I didn't ask you, but with the level of uncertainty and knowing maybe Etch is coming back, what happens to my job, how much has it affected you, if it did at all?
I mean, it's definitely in your head as a player. You know, the ultimate goal is to be up here and stay up here. And you don't know what's going to happen. You hear the talks. You see it. In my head, I don't want to think about it. I'm just here, you know, to play every game I can that they ask me to play, come out here and do my best, give it my all. And then, you know, to see the news come out, you know, it might be a relief for some people, you know, but I try to stay an even keel and try to think, you know, it's the same game, you know. And then, you know, I had a meeting before, you know, BP today, just, you know, and it shows that the front office here and coaches and everybody have confidence in me as a player, and that, you know, that makes me feel good. You know, the best of luck to Hetch. You know, you never want to see a teammate go, lose a teammate. You know, best of luck with him. He's going to have a good career, and he's a great player and a great person.
What's it do when somebody points at you and tells you, you're our guy? What's that feeling like when you're told it's Major League Baseball at shortstop, you're our guy?
It's a great feeling. You know, the fact that they have confidence in me after, 2 months up here, to know that they can trust me out there to help this team get wins, whatever it is, you know, playing the glove, swinging the bat, whatever it is, just being here, it's good to know that they have confidence in me as a player.
With that being said, before I let you go, we've chatted with Don Mattingly in recent weeks, and he was actually asked a couple of days ago, I forget who it was that asked him, they said, you know what, as good of a job that JT has done, as he gets more acquainted to the league is going to adjust to you. Offensively now, how much time is spent in the film room looking, okay, I have not been good in this part of the zone, they're going to try to pitch me here, now this is a pitch that I have to learn to try to hit?
Yeah, you know, I guess there's tons of time in the film room looking at pitchers and everything, but for me as a player, I don't want to get too much in my head. You start getting in your head, and then you're out there at the plate thinking, you know, you want to get to this pitch, and then you don't see one, and then you're trying to battle. You know, you start thinking too much, that's never a good thing. I've always been, see the ball, hit the ball, trust my hands, get the foot down and let it go. And that's the big thing with me is timing, not so much mental stuff. I know what the pitchers have. I know, you know, what their curveball is going to do, what their fastball is going to do, where they like to throw the ball. And there's definitely a scouting report coming out, you know, that maybe he can't handle the inside pitch, maybe he can't handle curveball, or whatever it is, you know. But I want to go after my strengths. You know, I want to fix my weaknesses, but I want to also go after my strengths and, you know, staying with that middle opposite approach for me, trusting my hands to get to that ball inside, is gonna make me, I think, the best player that I can be.
Guess what? You're the guy now. Congratulations. Thanks for the time tonight, JT.
Thank you.
Good ball game at Marlins Park last night. The Marlins come out on top in Game 1. They'll go for a series victory tonight at 7:10. Tonight on the mound at Marlins Park, a pair of left-handers. That would be Jeff Locke and Steven Matz. We're on the air at 6:40 with Marlins on Deck, presented by GEICO. And as always, we hope you'll join us along the Marlins Radio Network.